I am. It's a weird. I have a weird feeling because I don't know. I'm just so kind of like. I just want to keep worshiping. I loved. I don't really get an opportunity very often to be in this side of the worship, you know, experience, I guess. I'm usually up here doing some sort of something, and man, I just so appreciated my fiance and her leadership. Where is she? There she is. Love you. It was really a treat, though. She's always been one of my favorite worship leaders, but I'm always usually playing for her. And so that, I was like, oh, I had to sit there and was like, Lord, am I crying because she's just so beautiful, or is it you? I don't know. I think it was the Lord, but that doesn't discount your beauty. I struggled with what I wanted to share this morning. I had a whole, you know, three-point sermon, because that's what you're supposed to do. And then I realized the main thing I want to share with you guys is to not be what you're supposed to do. And so I'm just going to share with you, and I'm sorry if it's going to be all over the place. That's just kind of my style, and I don't care if you like it or not. So please take notes if you can. If not, just remember everything I say. Psalm 63, I have a couple scriptures that I want to share today, and I think they all go together. I mean, the Bible is always, they all blend together eventually, right? The cross, amen. Psalm 63, this is one of my favorite psalms. Do you guys have it? Your U versions, do you have your phones back yet, campers? You could finally check the old U version. I was afraid that when we took your phones, you guys were like, but you're taking my Bible too. What am I going to do? Going old school. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Oh, maybe it was a bad idea for you to play keys. I'm getting emotional already. The heartstrings. I just feel the presence of the Lord so strongly this week, and I can't help but continually think about the experiences that we've had. For those of you who are New Hope, I just want to thank you so much for being here with us and even for giving us the opportunity to do this. I know that this is our home, and you know, we've clogged a couple toilets along the way, and you know, a lot of hard work, and I just appreciate you guys so much for, I appreciate Zach and Carrie, and then just the opportunity to be able to hold this. This is something that's really special. I want you guys to know this as a church. This is something very unique, and I think about the last four nights that we've had, or three, or whatever it was, and I think about just the presence of the Lord, and I can't help but continually, you know, close my eyes and I just picture the throne room and during seeing what a beautiful name, just picturing Jesus and how pleased he is. There's nothing greater than spending your life for this man. And I just feel that so strongly, the joy that's in my heart. These aren't tears of sorrow, although I might be sad that it's ending today, but it's tears of joy because I picture Jesus smiling over each one of you as we're singing how beautiful his name is. He's singing over us how beautiful you are to him. And it's just such an incredible picture that I have in my head, and I can't get it out of my head. Like, I just picture Jesus on his throne smiling, and oh, I can't get over it. That's why I just want to keep worshiping, you know. We have been in his sanctuary. We have beheld his power and his glory. We have experienced something this week, and we'll never be the same. I'm convinced. How many of you guys feel different? How many of you guys feel like there's something powerful that has shifted in the atmosphere this week? And I believe that with all my heart. And I want to share just for a few minutes. There was a moment that I had when I was your age that kind of started my life over again. And I was a senior in Bible college, and I grew up in church. I grew up going to church. I was saved when I was 10 years old at Camp Shiloh, which is the second greatest camp in the world besides this one. And I got saved when I was a young age, and I went to church, and I grew up as a leader. I grew up as a worship leader. I started playing guitar because a girl told me that I looked good with a guitar, and I was like, oh, so this is how you pick up chicks. Sweet. And then the Lord redeemed that, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I started playing guitar. I started singing on the worship team, and I, you know, they just stuck a mic in my face because they needed a deeper voice, which they were probably a little disappointed because I kind of sing in the higher range of things. But anyway, that's how I started. That's how I started leading worship. And then I went to Bible college because I felt different than most people. And so I didn't know what else to do. I dropped out of college, and which my mom is probably still disappointed in. But hi, Mom. Love you. But I dropped out of college, and I just went to Bible college. And 3 years in the Bible college, I was a senior, and it was my last semester. And we were doing this. There's this thing called the week of prayer where you spend an entire week, and from morning to night, you're basically in prayer services, kind of like how we were this week. And this one particular night, I remember I was sitting in the back, because I usually sit in the back just because that's where I feel more comfortable, which is not the best excuse, but I was sitting in the back, and I was doing my sway, which you guys all know now, and I just felt like the Lord finally, like, impress upon my heart, hey, you should go to the front. Now, I'm not saying that, like, there's anything that, like, the Lord can touch you in your car, outside, in the back, in the front, downstairs, up in the attic, although it's hot, but he can touch you anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at, but I felt like the Lord led me to go to the front, and there is something weird about this, like, altar that's like, I don't understand it. I don't have any biblical backing about it, but there's like a, you come to the front, maybe it's that carelessness of what people think and that, like, that reach for more of the Lord where the Lord honors that. I don't know, but something happened where I went and he told me to start dancing. And like, I don't know, like, I grew up, I've always been like white without rhythm. So I don't get it. Like in most churches, dancing is this, even like today, we're just like, you know, every once in a while you get the Pentecostal two-step up, you know? Where's that from the 90s, the Pentecostal two-step? Oh, come on. You guys are all lying in church. So I started doing this, right? And I'm dancing, and it's like the Lord is like, I feel the Lord. And it was like, great, this is cool. Then a good friend of mine, who's actually a groomsman at my wedding, Benny B, right over here in the green shirt, he came up to me in his nice, you know, loud manner like he always is. Just kidding. He's like the quietest guy in the world. But he walked up to me and he was like, you know, the Lord is opening an opportunity for you right now. And you could choose to stay where you're at, or you can choose to go deeper, go further. And so obviously I was like, well, I mean, I'm already here. Might as well. Sure, I'll go deeper, you know. And it wasn't like anything. I just said in my heart, I said, Lord, I want more of you, right? And then, you know, and the worship leader, I don't remember who it was, but they started playing the like most overplayed generic worship song of the time. It was you. It was Krista. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Great job. You changed my life, Krista, as always, and you still do with how great you are at administrative work. But she started playing the Revelation song, right? Which is a great song, but at that point in 2010, it was like everybody and their mom was singing that song, and it was like so generic. The point is, like, it wasn't like anything special. Like, it wasn't like, you know, a night session with the lights down and the smoke machines and like Caleb Culver on the keys, you know? It was the Revelation song, which, again, powerful song, overplayed. But in this moment, the Lord just like, I don't even know how to explain it. He just gave me this like massive bear hug. I don't know if you've ever experienced that feeling where like Jesus and maybe you guys experienced it this week, I don't know, but Jesus like enters your heart for the first time and you feel for the first time that this is not like a set of rules. This is not a book. This is a man, and this is a man who loves you. And it was like this feeling that I got where all of a sudden I just fell to my knees and again, for the first time, picture Jesus smiling and wrapping me in his arms and giving me this massive bear hug. And from that point forward, this was my senior year of Bible college, mind you. So I'd already gone through 2.5 years of knowledge. And then my senior year of Bible college, all of a sudden, the Lord, boom, hit me right there. From that point forward, I remember, for the next, 3 months, I was, so cloud nine, woo, I was smiling all the time. There was just this joy inside of me. I remember one of my friends was like, man, you just haven't stopped smiling since January, you know? It's because I felt the Lord for the first time. And when you have an experience like that, that happens and it becomes the new normal to you where you in this psalm right here, he says, I will remember you upon my bed. In those dark times, in those times of sorrow and want and need, you remember those moments where Jesus met you and it sustains you. It brings new life to those dark situations. Honestly, 6 months after that experience, where I felt the Lord for the first time, 6 months later, one of my best friends in the world died in a car accident. It was the most traumatizing experience of my life. And I was so angry and I was so bitter and I was screaming at God. And I remember that moment. And as much as I wanted to be angry and mad at God and walk away because I had all these questions, I couldn't because I had seen, my eyes had tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord. And so I believe that's something that happened to you guys this week. I think that this is a start of something for you where there might be difficult times coming and you might go back to your churches and they might look at you weird and you might be very different. But you remember the moments that you had in this place. You remember the experiences you had with the Lord where he touched you at this altar. Remember those moments when it's dry and when it's high school, and high school is a terrible place. I hate high school so much. You want to know why I'm so good at guitar? I had no friends in high school, so I would just sit in my room and, play the old shred o'clock, So it's a tough place, and when you're in those situations where people are looking at you funny because you pray and you honor your parents, oh boy, what a concept. But when you do that kind of stuff, people are going to be like, this guy's, look at this sack of potatoes over here, crazy. But don't be discouraged. Remember these times. Remember, when you're sitting in the quiet place, in the secret place, remember these times where the Lord has met you, and that'll sustain you. You know, the region, this church, your church, this, wherever you're from, the Northeast, Pennsylvania, New York, upstate, doesn't matter. They need you, and they need the fire that is sparked in your heart, that the Lord has placed in your heart. They need you. Don't look at yourselves as a 14-year-old kid who, just plays an instrument. You are a trendsetter in your church. I love that word. That's the word I've been praying over you guys for the last 2 years since we started this thing. You guys are trendsetters. Our goal as a leadership team of this camp, and honestly, this goes for New Hope too. Don't get checked out because I'm, singling these guys out. You guys are trendsetters. You are set apart. You are different. And the church needs you, and the church needs what the Lord has instilled in your heart. And he desires for you to go back and spark those fires. There's another scripture in the Psalms that I love. This is one of my life verses that I love memorizing scripture because when you're leading worship, you could just, you remember those things. And it's way better to, sing scripture than to sing your own thoughts sometimes. Well, a lot of times. Every time, I'd say. But there's a scripture that I memorized one time in that season that I was telling you about, and I've always remembered it in my head for forever. It's Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And the rest of a couple of verses later, the next two verses, which I haven't had memorized, they say, "For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you." A little bit of a downer, but the next one, 28. "But for me, it is good to be near God. For me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of your good works. It is good to be near God. In those times, I want you to memorize that scripture. That's a little homework for you. There is nothing on earth I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart always fail, may fail. They will always fail. But you remember that you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You are the strength of my heart, my portion forever. I can't tell you how many times that I've felt really down about life and I go, you know what? My flesh and my heart may fail, but you, O God, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Be the trendsetter. Somewhere along the line in church, we've lost this aspect of our first love, this aspect of we just want Jesus and there's nothing on earth that I desire. Somewhere along the line, especially in American culture, there's this sense of, okay, we need to have these programs in place. We need to have this great worship leader in place. We need to have a dynamic speaker with 3 points to their message. And we've lost the whole aspect of this is about an encounter and an experience with God. And somewhere along the lines, too, they've lost the aspect of, like, somewhere somebody said that feelings are bad, you know? And it's like every time somebody gets a little emotional in this place, they're like, oh, that's just emotionalism. You know, we don't want any of that, you know? And it's crazy to me because the Lord, like, made us emotional people, you know? He, like, the one thing that I could tell you for sure is that I am an emotional person, you know? I know that I have emotions. And if the Lord didn't want you to express those emotions, then why did he give them to you? Feelings are a good thing. It's good to feel. It's good to get excited, you know? The one thing that I want to share with you guys that I keep coming back to is that I don't want you guys to feel like when you go back to your churches or when you even come here, New Hope guys, when you come here, I don't want you to feel like you have to be like everybody else. I don't want you to lose that passion in your heart because the person next to you is just sitting there staring at the screen doing absolutely nothing. You know? Not that you can't experience the Lord that way, but you know what? Actually, I'm going to say this. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble. I think that a lot of times that is an excuse because of your comfort. And I think that a lot of times you just don't feel comfortable to express the Lord. The one thing that I could tell you for sure, how about we do this for a second? Close your eyes for a moment. And I just want you to try to picture a kingdom and a throne room. And I want you to picture Jesus on that throne with his eyes smiling at you. Think about that for a moment. Think about Jesus on his throne smiling at you. And then think about all the scriptures of promises that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Think about the cross and what he's done for you. And now I want you to tell me that when you're thinking about that, you could sit there with your hands crossed and staring at a screen. I just don't think that's possible. I'm sorry. Like, I think that when the Lord comes, our only response is praise and glory to him. That's the only proper response when we see Jesus. And I'm sorry, I don't want you to feel bad about it. I know that some people are more quiet than I. Like, I know that. You know, and so I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. What I'm saying is when just picture that and picture Jesus and do whatever response you feel is appropriate for that. A lot of times I think that'll be a cry of praise or a cry or even falling to your knees or sitting down in reverence, something other than just checking out. I am done with the church just sitting around and being comfortable. It's not what the church is supposed to be. It's not what we're called to be. There's nothing on earth that we desire besides him. Not comfort, not satisfaction, not a good church service, you know. Stop apologizing for being too charismatic or a little too crazy, you know? I think you guys are all very weird. I do not understand why sometimes people do certain things. It is so stinking weird. But who cares? Like, who cares? The Lord is encountering people and bringing people, and it looks so different, and it's so weird. He made a stinking donkey talk in the Bible. Like, we get so weird about people that are dancing and jumping, and they're like, oh, that's just not the way that I experienced the Lord. You know what? Get over yourself. Like, for real. Get over yourself. Because if we don't have that heart, if we don't have that heart that God is going to come and move, if we don't have that heart, God, I do not care what I look like. I don't care if I get a little sweaty and I have pit sweats all over the place. I do not care. I want to encounter you right now in this place. And if we have that mindset, if we have that heart, the Lord is faithful and he's going to do it. And I do believe that he can move wherever, however he wants, whenever he wants. I don't know if you guys were here a couple months ago in June when we had a pretty rough service. Like, it was like a lot of things went wrong, sound and stuff like that. But at the very end of it, I was just playing the most generic chord progression. All of a sudden, boom, Holy Spirit, boom. 2 hours later, we're all dancing and screaming. And, you know, Robert Burrows, one of the quietest guys I know, comes up and starts screaming testimonies. You know, that's what I call encounter. You know, that's what we long for. Something that's like, you know what? Hey, Jeff, it's noon. It's noon. It's time to go to Brady J's for some lunch. We better nip this in the bud really quick. No, that's not what we're here for anymore. We're here to encounter the Lord so that when we go out of this place, the Lord is represented through us. And so I don't want you guys to go back and feel like you have to be something. I don't want you to go back and feel like you have to conform to a certain pattern of how your church does. Now, what I'm not saying is not to honor your leadership. I don't want you guys to go back and be like, well, Jeff told me that I could do this, you know? Honor your leadership. That's why I'm thankful for a guy like Zach, who's just, you know, he's my favorite. Let's give a hand for Zach. I love this man. Zach and Carrie, they do a great job of having order and honor and honoring leadership and honoring what's going on, but also giving the room for the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying not just in your churches, I'm saying in your quiet times. Like, who's to say that you can't just pop on some music and just dance around crazy? You know, even, you know, in those situations, I would even say it's even more appropriate to be like David and walk around in your sackcloth. You know what I mean? You could do that, you know, get a little bit more undignified. You know what I'm saying? You could actually do that and not have to feel shame about it, you know? But I want you guys to leave this place feeling that you can express yourself. You know, we said that the other day. Express yourself. But at the same time, I want you guys to feel this burden as well. The thing about being a trendsetter is that it's difficult. There's a difficulty to it. There's a sense of dislike. You know, people are going to try to stunt your growth. People are going to try to shut you up. Especially, I'll even say this, if I could go even further, get myself in even more trouble. Especially in church services, you know, there's a lot of type A people, we'll call them, or administratively blessed people who think a little differently. And so when a creative comes up and doesn't have 3 points to a sermon or they just go a little too long, you know, they're kind of like, hey, next time, make sure that you, you know. Or it's like, we can't have the keys playing during when we're talking. You know, turn the keys down. You know, whatever. Doesn't matter. But they're gonna try to, I just lost my train of thought. Dang it. It was so good. Oh, trendsetters, yeah. There's going to be a difficulty to trendsetting. There's going to be a difficulty to the burden that the Lord has put on your heart. And I believe that there's something special about this group of kids, teens, students, whatever. I got reprimanded for calling you kids. I still feel like a kid at 30 years old, so I don't care. Students. Sorry, Grace, I didn't mean to offend you. Students. There is a special anointing on your life. From the moment we started this thing, I've loved you because a lot of times we call it plowing. A lot of times you have to plow in the worship service and kind of get people a little, let's do it. You guys got to encourage. Hey, from the moment you guys came in, it was like, woo! Just like going for it, you know? That's special. Obviously, you guys know. I'm sure you guys have youth groups, and I'm sure you guys know that it's not normal what you guys are. And so I want you guys to know that when you go back to your churches, when you go back to your workplaces, New Hopers or volunteers who have so graciously given whole week to us, it's going to feel different, you know? The Lord isn't, it's going to feel like sometimes the Lord isn't there or the Lord's not moving or it's not as easy where it's just all of a sudden like, you know, you go to a place and you could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb and everybody be like, yes, Lord, I am your lamb and you are Mary. No. Bad example, but you get the point, you know? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Lord, I am your little star. Oh, I wonder what you are, which is kind of true. You know, may we never lose our wonder. Am I right? But seriously, you can have that experience here, but when you go back and you go back to your churches, you go back to your youth groups where the people like are more concerned about girls or the next PlayStation 14 that comes out, you know, like it's not the same. Their heart, but you know what you guys are? You guys are trendsetters, and by your example and the way that you live your life and the way that you demonstrate your praise and your worship, they're gonna be like, what? Who is this and what is this? I want more of this, you know? Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but I love the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. I know. I know, surprising. You would think that I just pray all day, right? But I actually do have some hobbies, you know, football. Well, being a fan of football, I'm a terrible football player. I love the Cowboys, and kind of like what Hannah said the other day, which I love about her, although I don't think Dak Prescott is as cute as she does. We'll talk about that later. What she said is it's true. Like, passion is contagious. Like, if you watch a Cowboy game with me, you may not be a fan of the Cowboys. You may not care about football, but when you watch a game with me, they're like, wow, what is so special about this team that he loves this team so much, you know? And then sometimes I've had at least 4 people in my life that have actually turned to become a fan of the Cowboys just by watching me. I think part of it's because they're just concerned about my health and well-being. So they're just more like, I need to pay attention to this so that I could text them and see how you're doing. I've gotten a lot better. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. But passion is contagious. And when you lead from that life of passion, that's birthed from the secret place, that's birthed from those moments with God, people are going to catch on. People are going to say, what's going on with that guy? Like, I want more of that, you know? Don't live life from this mentality of just yesterday's bread. You know, I have this analogy that I like to call, and this will actually work great for worship leaders, but I call it like the stage mentality as opposed to the secret place mentality. Like, the stage is like we're trying to follow the Lord, we're trying to lead, and we're trying to live a life based off of like what our parents told us about God, or based off of our own, even like leading worship, our own charisma, our own talent, or our own like ability to speak well in front of others. Sometimes we'll rely on that and be like, you know what, I could just go up here and I could just wing it, I could just sing, you know, I could just sing a song, play a little ditty on the guitar, and it'll be fine, you know. And a lot of times, you know, life gets in the way, and we focus on that, and we kind of live our lives through this stage mentality as opposed to this secret place mentality, where it's like my worship, my talent has been amplified because I have the Lord's, like, the oil of the Lord all over me. Does that make sense? Like, when I'm in the secret place and I have done my time in prayer, you know, that is a completely different shift. Like, there is 2 way different ways to lead worship. There's from the stage, from the secret place. Leading worship from the stage, or leading from the stage, or living from the stage only produces pride and selfishness. But leading from the secret place produces intimacy and identity, where you know who you are and you live out of that identity as opposed to your talents. You live out of that intimacy with the Lord as opposed to this knowledge that your mom gave you when you were 5 and you learned about Noah and the, you know, Sunday school. Like, there's 2 very different ways to live life. And you guys are the secret place trendsetters. And, you know, I hear a lot about like these big name like worship leaders, and you know, we talk a lot about like Bethel and what Bethel's doing and how great they are. They're so cool, and like everybody's Bethel. And every time I see, like, you know, I hate that rocks. That's why I got rid of the stage. I'm like, I hate the rock starness of like everything that happens in the church nowadays. It's like, no, we're in this together. Like, I don't really care. We're in this together. You don't need to think nobody here is special. We're just all trying to live life together, you know? But sometimes you go to these Bethel, and there's like, oh my goodness, Stephanie Gretzinger. So amazing. The anointing on that girl. And like it's just like there's this like obsession with the worship leader, and it makes me sad. But you know what it is the reason why the people love that person so much is because they have encountered the Lord. They've experienced the Lord. You know, that's why I love somebody like Caleb Culver, who comes out, you know, for next to nothing, and he spends the whole time with us and just pours out to us. But the thing that's beautiful about that and what we don't realize is that, you know, we all want to sound like Bethel. We all want to play like Bethel, you know, especially you guys. You guys want to, like, you know, I want to grab the next gear that's the next cool pedal that Bethel's doing, or like the chorus is coming back, which I hate chorus pedals, and it's coming back. Now everybody wants to use them. But anyway, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. It's okay. But what they don't realize is that what the power and what you guys are experiencing have been, it's just an overflow of their personal life. It's an overflow of what they've encountered, what they've experienced in the secret place. It's not, it has little or nothing to do with talent, although excellence is great, and I highly approve of excellence. I love excellence. But the biggest thing is that they've encountered the Lord in the secret place, in the quiet place. And so I want you guys to remember that the church doesn't need another musician. The church doesn't need another attendee or a congregation member or, you know, a board member or even a member at all, although sometimes you need the board or the members to show up to, you know, approve of things. But they don't need that. What they need is a people set apart that are obsessed with Jesus, that are obsessed with this man Jesus. None of this, like, kind of like what Dennis was sharing the other day, like none of this like half-hearted, like, or this counterfeit Jesus that has crept into so many churches. So many churches have been kind of domesticated in a sense, where they've lost sense of their first love, and we don't need that anymore. What we need is you guys to go back and set a new trend, set a new way of thinking, because you guys have been changed. You've been transformed this week, and you remember, and that'll sustain you. I remember this one time I was talking to a friend of ours, Dave Sliker, who came, I can't remember how many years ago, but it doesn't really matter. But I was at Saturate, this youth conference that's right down the road, and I was talking to him in the backstage because he was preaching and I was leading worship, and I was like, you know, this is barely before I knew him, and I was like, man, I just really would love, this is years ago, I was like, I would love to just raise up this generation for worship, and I'm so passionate about this region. I think this region is, it was so dry, it's not anymore. We're not calling it dry anymore, but it was so dry, and I was like, man, I cannot wait for the day where the Lord just breaks out in this place and breaks out in this region, and the Lord raises up passionate worshipers and prayers that are passionate for just him and him alone because he's worthy and all this stuff. And I was saying all the stuff that we've been saying all week, and he turned to me, and he's like, dude, that's awesome. That is an incredible, incredible, like, vision for what you have. He's like, but I got to ask you one thing. Like, are you willing to be the one that sits in a prayer room with two other people for 10 years? Like, are you willing to be that person? He's like, because sometimes the Lord doesn't work like that. You know, sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years, and then all of a sudden, boom, the breakthrough happens. And if we're in it for the revival, if we're in it for, like, the Lord moving, then we're in it for the wrong reasons. And I remember looking at him, and in my heart, in my head, I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely, man. In my head, I was like, no way. Like, that sounds terrible. Like, I'm going to be like 45. My coolness factor is going to be like down here in the worship scene, you know? There's only like one worship leader I know that's like past 40 that's still kind of cool. And I mean kind of, you know? I'm not going to mention names. But, and so I'm thinking that. I'm like, man, that would be terrible, right? But then I realized, wait a second. I'm not doing this for the coolness factor. I'm not doing this because, like, I love music. I'm doing this because he's worthy. And if I sit here in this church for 30 years, which I believe the Lord is faithful and he will bring it before that. But if I sit here for 30 years and it's just me and Hannah and Zach and Carrie and maybe like 5 other people, you know, sitting on a Wednesday night, because we have Wednesday nights and there's usually only like 5 or 10 people, Kevin, faithful Kevin, sitting there, that's worth it to me, you know, because he's worthy. And I think that when we get that mentality that, like, it's not about the coolness, it's not about the music, it's about being set apart and it's about contending for a move of God, then it changes for us, because it doesn't really matter who's in the room, what's happening in the room, we're just in it for the Lord. And that's what I feel like you guys are. You guys are set apart for something amazing. Don't ever lose your wonder. Don't ever lose your heart for the Lord. Remember what he's done for you in this place. Remember these moments that you have. And this is just the beginning, guys. I don't want you to think that it's like you're going to be sitting here 5 years down the road being like, oh, I remember that one night in July of 17. I remember the days. No, this is just the beginning. And the Lord is so faithful. He is so faithful. And he will meet you. And you know what the coolest thing is? The coolest thing is when he meets you in a room by yourself when you're sitting there in your living room and nobody's home and you're playing terribly on the guitar and all of a sudden, like, the Holy Spirit just drops. Like, that's when it's like, yes, this is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I'm looking for. Nothing else but just Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our lives, I love this quote by Francis Chan, our lives shouldn't make sense. Our lives should not make sense, especially to unbelievers. So many times we try to look like the outside world, or we try to do these things that's like, you know, let's get a stage and let's get some amplification so that, you know, we could create a concert-like experience. But our lives shouldn't make sense. It shouldn't make sense. When people walk in, they'll be like, whoa, there's no stage. This is uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, it should not make sense to people that walk in. Like, to be a trendsetter, you don't make sense. You're a little weird. You're a little, you know, confusing to others. I remember when I went to Elam, I have a lot of family members who don't really know the Lord very well. And I remember one of my uncles was talking to me, and he was like, you know, what are you gonna do? Do you have a retirement plan set up? What are you gonna do after college? Does it give you a degree? You know, what's your degree? What can you transfer into another college? And it was like so overwhelming, and I was like, I don't have answers to any of these questions. Like, he's like, are you going to have a white picket fence? Where's your golden retriever? Like, all this stuff. Like, all these things. Like, I felt like he was just, like, bombarding me with these questions. And I was like, I told him, I don't feel like I'm that kind of person. You know? I don't feel like that's me. He's like, well, what are you going to do after this is over with? You know? Like, in 10 years, when the music thing's over with and you don't have any money, what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I don't know. I do not know. And, you know, it's hard to say in that, but I was like, in my head, I was like, the Lord's faithful. I really don't know, don't care. Like, I am convinced that he's going to provide for me. And the thing is, like, I know that when you go home, there's people that are going to be like, well, you know, there's a lot of you. How many of you guys know, how many of you guys feel this? That when you walk into a room or you walk into a church service, you feel different. Like, you're like, something, I want more. Like, I feel like there's this something more. That's the feeling of a trendsetter. That's the feeling of somebody that's set apart. And we're all called to that, but some people are further along in that journey than others. And so when you're that way and people are trying to tell you the old way of living where you're all about the money, all about the bennies, getting all that stuff and getting all the way, and that's not bad if you're called, like, I give money because we need it. So, you know what I mean? Like, get money so that you give it to all the missionaries that are poor. That's, the Lord works great in that way. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that money's bad. What I'm saying is if you have a heart for the Lord, don't let people stunt your growth by their plan for your life. You know, if you feel like you want to go to Bible college or if you want to go to Africa and you have no money, you have no idea how you do it, but if the Lord's telling you to go to Africa, then quit college and go to Africa. Sorry, parents. Oh, boy. Or stay in college, finish, and then go to Africa. I don't know. But whatever the Lord tells you to do, don't let people domesticate you. Don't let people bring you down by their opinions on how they think you should live your life, you know? When I went to Elam, my dad was like, my dad, he lives in Minnesota. He's not saved. He's like, well, money doesn't grow on trees, Jeff. How are you going to do it? And I was like, I don't know. I still went, you know, and I did it. Doesn't matter. Like, if the Lord calls you to do it, then do it. He will provide every step of the way. And so I feel so strongly that I want you guys to know that there's a call on your life to be this remnant, to be this this people that are chosen, that are set apart to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus, to proclaim what you've experienced and what you've seen. Now you have a taste, guys. You have a taste of what the Lord can do. And it's just the beginning. But the crazy thing is, there's a lot of people, even in church, there's a lot of people who have lived their entire lives and never felt Jesus. I know. I was in church for 10 years before I felt. I was a leader. I was a worship leader in church. And I had never felt Jesus. So there are people that need to know the fire that's burning in your heart. There are people that need to experience Jesus, and only your passion and your heart and your desire to see the Lord move in your churches, in your workplaces, in your families, that's what's going to bring that change. People are going to look at you and say, you know what, like, money doesn't matter. Like, this guy, like, you know, so-and-so, he's just living his life, and he's so happy. What is this? Like, I'm miserable. And then you'll have a chance to, like, boom, there's the Lord, you know? And so I guess I want to pray for you guys. I don't know, Zach, do you have anything that you want to say before we go into? I want to go back into worship, too. Just for a little bit, if we could get the worship team, Hannah, to come back up.
I want to have the congregation too. We're gonna pray for the students. But I said this last night, and I'm so grateful for Jeff. I'm so grateful for his heart, just so into this that he's here, that God put him here. Is this microphone on? It's on. Thank you. I'm so grateful for Jeff and just his heart and his team and so many of the counselors, Krista and Steve-O, and now that I started naming names, I'm not going to remember everybody, but broke something. But let's go ahead and stand. We love you, Jesus. Actually, can we do no music just for a second? I just want to change gears a little bit. Holy Spirit, right now, we thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your leadership over these teenagers, God. I pray, Father, that you would move with fire right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. I just want to give the teens a quick charge. It's from Hebrews 12, starts with an H. Charge is this: since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of God. The charge is this verse. It's, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And that first part of the verse, and you guys can look at me real quick, is so important because it means this. It means that since heaven is filled with witnesses that are looking down at us who carried the banner, you hear, you know, all of these famous names as you grow up. You'll hear guys like John Wesley and Charles Finney, and you'll hear of, you know, Augustine and Athanasius and all these great saints of the last 2,000 years. There's been these guys that have carried the banner, and they're cheering us on. Paul, Peter, and John, you know, they carried the banner, and they're looking down, and they're looking at you, and they're saying, now it's your time. And the Bible is just filled with stories of weak, broken individuals who were crazy enough to believe that God was real and that God could do something great if they submitted themselves to him. And that's you guys. You guys are the next ones. Since you're surrounded by these ones staring down at us from heaven, that's Paul's admonishment to them. He says, lay aside the heavy weights and the sin that clings so closely. I'll say it like this. It's even more intense. Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, Jesus said, cut it off. Now, don't go and take that literally. But what he means is this. If there's something that holds you back in your life, that's holding you down and keeping you from pursuing Jesus with everything you have, cut it out. If there's relationships in your high school that are keeping you from pursuing Jesus and running with all of your strength, then move on and find new relationships. If your computer is causing you to look at pornography and you keep getting stuck in the cycle because I'm keeping looking at porn on my phone, then throw it away. People lived without phones and did fine for like a lot of years until like, you know, 15 years ago. It means whatever is weighing you down, if it keeps you from that pursuit, get rid of it. Because this is too sacred of a thing. This is too cool of a calling. This is too beautiful of a God to waste stuck in little silly things that cling to us. That's why he says, don't try to go through a 12-step program and go repent and feel like you're a terrible person. Don't do any of that. He said, just cut it out, throw it away, move on. In other words, it's a quick thing. It's just throw it away. Since you have this calling and since you have this fire in you that God has put in you, put aside everything that distracts you from pursuing Jesus. And the next one is to run. And how many of you know running? I'm a living example. The running isn't easy. Running takes endurance. And so run the race with endurance. It means don't worry about having to be everything that God wants you to be in the next 2 years. Don't worry about trying to be everything that God wants you to be by the age of 25. You want to set your sights to be like my friend Cynthia in the back. Where's Cynthia? Cucinata, where's Cynthia? When I see Cynthia, look at Cynthia Cucinata back here, just real quick. I'm going to start getting teary-eyed. When I think of what it means to run a life well, it's to end up like Cynthia in the back. She's in her 80s with a fire and a passion for Jesus, interceding and crying out to God for her family. She has a faith that's unshakable. She has a reach for Jesus that's real. Your goal isn't to be famous worship leaders. Your goal isn't to have big ministries. Your goal is to stand before Jesus and say, I was like Cynthia. I was faithful all of my days, and I reached out to Jesus, and Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because here's the thing, this is how you know the race is to be like Cynthia. The race is to be like Cynthia because Jesus said this, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name we casted out demons, and we did many wonderful works. And Jesus says, I never knew you, depart from me, you evildoers. Meaning, the goal isn't the wonderful works. The goal isn't to move in great power and prophesy and cast out demons. The goal is to have a heart that is set towards Jesus all the days of your life. And it's a daily reach for him every day, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And Cynthia actually even wrote a book about it. You can read it. But she, every day of her life, she's kept that reach for Jesus. And the last way, the key to do it, he says in Hebrews, is to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. The only way and the only reason why we gather is because Jesus is beautiful. I love what Tim Keller says. He says that we are not Christians in religion. We are Christians because God is useful. But he says in Christianity, we obey and love Jesus because he's beautiful. So let's pray. We can do a little music. And I want the teens to spread out throughout here. And I just want to invite the adults and everyone else here. Find a teenager, lay your hand on their shoulder, and just pray for them. Speak life into them.